Hallelujah. In a drier land, God has a river. And I mean, some of you right now are in the middle of a desert. But how many know he caused water to flow from a rock? Y'all didn't hear what I said. It was Christ in the rock. And he can make a river flow for you. Amen. Amen. You may have your seats in the house of the Lord as we get ready for the word of God tonight. We're going to continue on in this series, The Trinity, and we're talking about God, Kingdom Matters, and we're going to look a little bit further than we did last week. We talked about how God is seen in the Old Testament, how Jesus is seen in the Old Testament, and how the Holy Spirit is seen in the Old Testament. And because those three are seen, we often say, well, I just don't see that. Well, we have to know that though the word Trinity is not seen in the Old Testament, the concept Trinity is throughout the whole thing. And so tonight, as we walk through Kingdom Matters, we needed to look at the Word of God and begin to see how God has brought the Godhead all the way from the Old Testament all the way to the New. Last week, when we were talking about it, we learned about the Tower of Babel and how God had used the Tower of Babel to confuse the languages. And the Trinity, the Bible says, let us go down. In other words, it was the plural form of God. Let us go down and confuse their languages and let them go in the different directions. But we see the reversal of the Tower of Babel on the day of Pentecost when they were all gathered together in one place on what? One accord. Remember what happened last time they were on one accord? It's that God said there's nothing that can be withheld from them because they are on one accord. And then on the day of Pentecost, they got into one accord, not for their name, but for his name. And the Bible says, out of heaven were tongues of fire, and they spoke in unknown tongues, and all of the people could hear the language in their own tongue. In other words, God reversed Babylon, but only through his Spirit. Hello, somebody. So the truth is that in those days, he says, let us go down. And in the modern day, when Pentecost happened, God willed Jesus to go to the cross. Jesus built up the believer by dying on the cross, and the Holy Spirit filled the believer on the day of Pentecost. The Trinity is seen both in the Old and in the New. And tonight, I want to continue on with that concept of discovering the Trinity even in the Old Testament. We were talking last week and had a great testimony. I want to give a great shout out to all of the soldiers at Fort Bragg. Would you just wave your hand at the camera? Hey, glad you guys tuned in last week. We had so many great testimonies of those who tuned in for Fort Bragg to watch our service. And we talked about generational curses, whether they were real, true, or not. And if you missed it, I encourage you to go back and look because God has gotten rid of all that mess so that we can walk in freedom. And if you have a doubt whether I'm right, wrong, when you look at the message, just judge it by the word of God. And if it's in the word, eat it all. But if it ain't in there, let it go. But I trust you'll see when you look online from last week that it's in the word. Tonight, we want to continue on with that thought. And I want to bring up to you this idea that when we see God in the Old Testament, it can be used synonymously for all three of the Godhead or the Trinity. It could be God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit. But in order to understand which God we're referring to, you need to understand the context in which that God is being spoken of. What Scripture proves is that the Son and the Father are called God side by side. They do not make a delineation except by the same usage of the same word. God, 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 God. But you're talking to more than one person. Again, the Trinity being found in the Old Testament. So I want you to take a look in your word, and we're going to go to a passage where we can see this actually takes place. There are passages where one Lord or God is speaking to another Lord or God. Go to Psalms chapter 45, and I want you to look at verse 6. Psalms 45, verse 6. And I want us to read this together. Can we read it in the King James Version? Let's read together. Go. Thy throne, O God, is ever and ever. The scepter. All right, so I'll read it again. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. So are we talking about an earthly king in this text? Well, first of all, no earthly king is called God, number one. This throne that we're referring to in Psalms 45 lasts when? Forever and ever. So we know the context that we're referring to is a supernatural God, a God without ending, a God without beginning, a God who is from everlasting to everlasting. So who is this God whose throne is forever and ever? Well, what's interesting is when you look into the book of Hebrews, it brings clarity to this text. It brings context to the text. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 1, looking at verse 8. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. Paul, the writer of Hebrews, is going to reignite this passage with understanding. The same passage we just read. It's not of man's private interpretation. Either it's God or it's not. Either I'm making this up or it's all fake. Either it's in here or it's not. Can there be gods talking to each other in the Old Testament? Yet we know that to be the Trinity, not just different gods. It is the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Look what Paul says in Hebrews 1 and 8. He requotes the text and says, but unto the Son, he gives you context. But unto the what? Son, he saith, thy throne, O. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. You mean to tell me that God called his Son God? God, to the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God. God wouldn't do that. God wouldn't dare call his Son God. Isn't that confusing? Wouldn't that be like turning over your authority and power to your Son? Wouldn't it? But I remember there's a text that says that Jesus thought it not robbery to equate himself to be equal with God. Why? Because I'm not taking nothing from God being equal with God because he gave me that equality. Hello, somebody. You can't take nothing from Jesus because he gave you all of that power you got on the inside of you. He said, go and lay hands on the sick. You shall cast out devils. You shall walk on serpents. And God gave you all of that power. And he didn't say anything about you're taken away from me. He said, and when I'm gone, you shall do more than I've done. So we can't get to a point as believers and say, that's only God can do that. Only God said, you ought to be able to do more than I did. I have 3 years on the earth. What can you do with all yours? Don't act like it's robbery from Jesus by walking in your authority. You give him honor by walking in your authority. Somebody say amen. Amen. See, in the text, it says, oh, and I'll read it again, Hebrews 1 and 8. But unto the Son, he, meaning God, saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter is the scepter of thy kingdom. I want you to go to Psalms 45, verse 7. I love this one. I want you to take a look at this text. It says, thou lovest righteousness and hatest what? Wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee. Do you see that? Once again, we got the same word talking about two different people. God, thy God, has what? Anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. In other words, that Jesus was anointed by God with the oil of gladness above his fellows. Two separate persons. This is why when we read in the New Test, in the Old Testament, it says, and God said, or the word is Elohim. It means three persons. It means plurality of God. Three, but yet unity, plurality in unity. Three gods in one Trinity. And so the Apostle Paul is breaking this down. Look how Hebrews even validates that this is an exchange between God and Jesus. Go to verse 9. Verse 9 of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. An exchange between the Father and the Son. I want you to read it out loud, please. Another way that we have read that, see, it is the same text in Hebrews bringing clarity between the Son and the Father, that they're speaking of each other. Jesus is equated as being there in the beginning with God, the creation of the heavens and the earth, along with the Holy Spirit. The Trinity was in the beginning. Look at Hebrews 1 and 10, and let's take a look and see what it says. Hebrews 1 and 10 says, and thou, what? Lord, in the beginning has laid what?
The foundation of the earth.
And?
The heavens are the works of thy hands.
Of whose hands?
Thy hands?
Is it God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit?
God.
How many say it's God the Father? How many say it's God the Son? How many say it's God the Holy Spirit? How many say, I don't know, and I'm waiting on the answer? Amen. Praise the Lord. The answer here is God the Son made the heavens and the earth. God the Son. Well, Pastor Steve, you know, can you back it up? I think I can. First of all, let's look at the original text, Genesis 1 and 1 and verse 2, and see if he's called God. See if the Son is called God. Let's look at that, and let's all read it, please. Verse 1. Okay, verse 2. Hold on now. So, verse 1, who was in verse 1? God who? We got to get clear on this one now. Is it God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit? Hold on. Let's look again. Let's look at verse 1. What's it say? In the beginning. Okay. Verse 2. Okay, so who was in this text? Who do we know was in the text? Holy Spirit. Okay. And we saw God. But we got to figure out, is it God the Father or God the Son or both? How many would say it's God the Son only? How many would say it's both? How many don't know? All right. Well, let's take a look and find out what the Word of God is speaking at. Remember, the ability to understand Scripture, there's a little clue. These three ideas. God willed it. Jesus builds it. And the Holy Spirit. Get that. You'll see it. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 15. 1 Corinthians, not, did I say Corinthians? Yes, I did. Colossians chapter 1, just testing. Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 15. Now, here we were referring to the Son, God the Son. And it says, who is the what? Image of the what? The of every creature. Now, does that mean he's the firstborn created by God? How many think that Jesus was created by God? Raise your hand. Does this verse say that Jesus was not created by God? Raise your hand. How many don't know? Amen. All right, so let's clarify. When he says he's the firstborn of, watch this, of every creature, he's not referring to creatures like created man. The Bible says when you get born again, old things are what? And behold, all things. You are a new creature in Christ. New creation in Christ. In other words, he is the firstborn from the dead. So he is the first one to resurrect. Because he was with, okay, to prove it, this ain't referring to his origin. It's referring to the fact that he was the first one to get up out of the grave after 3 days. Somebody say amen. Now, how do I know that? Go to John 1 and 1. John 1 and 1 makes it very clear. John 1, and then we're going to come back here. John 1 and 1 makes it clear. In the beginning was the, and the word was with, and the word was. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. So who was in the beginning? God the Father was there. God the Son was there. And God the Holy Spirit was there. But all I'm asking is who made it all, not who willed it to be made. They all were there. But it was the Son who made it. It was the Father who willed it. And the Holy Spirit entered into the earth that was without form and void and filled it so that he was the one sitting upon the deep. Come on, somebody. He always enters into what is created to make it something different than what was first intended. Come on, somebody. That's why God says that he has put in you in earthen vessels, a spiritual thing, that he takes dust, puts his spirit in it, and makes human and spirit come together for supernatural outcomes. That's why you are not the same as everybody else. When you come to Jesus, he puts the natural with the supernatural, and it is supernaturally amazing. You are not the same as everybody else. You are changed. He did it in the end, and he did it in the beginning. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. So we see God the Father there willing it. We see God the Son building it, and the Holy Spirit filling. The only thing that was in the earth was the Holy Spirit filling it with his presence. Now watch this. We're speaking of the Son, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And let's see what he did. Everyone read verse 16. For by who? God the Father or God the Son? God the Son. God the Son created everything that is in where? In the heaven and that is in the earth. Both what? Visible and whether they be what? Oh, next verse. Whether they visible and invisible, whether they be what? Or and next verse. All created and all things were created by Jesus for Jesus. You want to find out what your destiny is? What your purpose is? You just heard it. You were made for Jesus. Your purpose is wrapped up in him. He made you for himself. You are alive right now for himself. Your purpose is only discovered in him. How do I know that? Look at verse 17 and let's read it. Verse 17 says this, and he is before all things, and by him all things what? Consist. Look at 18. Watch this. And he is the head of the body. What? The church. Who are we talking about? God the Son. Who is the beginning? The what? Here we go. Thank you. When he spoke about the firstborn creature, he was again clarifying just a couple verses down that he's referring to the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. The word preeminence means to enter in and rise to the very top of rank. That he came into humanity and then became as man, rose to be a savior who never sinned and became preeminent over all humanity. It was God the Son. Look at verse 19 and let's look at that. For it what? That it pleased who? The Father. God the Father was pleased that in Christ all the fullness should dwell. There is no robbery for him. So I need you to understand that the beginning of the earth was formed and made by Jesus the Son. Now, so we see in Genesis, God the Father was there. God the Son was there. We see God the Spirit was there. We read in Colossians that God willed it and that Jesus built it and the Holy Spirit filled it. And then we want to go back in the text and see how are there any other scriptures of the Old Testament that point to the Trinity. I want you to go to Psalms 110, verse 1. Psalms 110, verse 1. Psalms 110, verse 1. And we're going to read from the King James Version. And I want you to understand something. David is prophesying at this moment. The King David is prophesying. And I want you to see the key words here. Can you read it, please? Go. Stop. What now? Hold on. Who said to who? The Lord said to who? Wait a minute now. Y'all got me confused. The Lord said to my Lord. Is he talking to himself? Or is he talking to somebody else? See, if you were the mind, oh no, all Lord God is one. You'll say, well, he couldn't be talking to anybody else because God's one. You don't understand. No, unity of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost is not disunity. It's unity in one. It is Elohim, three persons in one. That means they have unity, none without ending, none without beginning. They are one together, and yet they are distinct in personality. And it says here that as a Psalm of David, it says, and the Lord said unto what? My Lord. So David is speaking and says, God said to my God, another way of saying it. Or God the Father said to my Jesus, is another way to say it. As he says it, my Lord said unto, the Lord said unto my Lord. Everybody say my Lord. Because this is where it gets personal. Hello, somebody. See, you have to understand that Jesus is your Lord. He must be, he can't just be your Savior. He must be your Lord. See, when he's just your Savior, that means he brought you out of trouble. But when is he Lord? When he's your Lord, he can lead you beside still waters. Come on, somebody. That means you follow his lead. You will do what he says. He is the one over you. He is your Lord. You own him. He is my Lord. He's not just my Savior. He's my Lord. I love this. Watch this. And he says, the Lord said unto my Lord, no, sit thou where? Whose right hand? Wait a minute, which God are you talking about? Okay, let's be clear. So he said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down my right hand. He says, so in other words, God said, sit at my what? Until what? Wow. Trinity found in the Psalms. I want you to sit here until I make your enemies my footstool. Go to verse 2. Watch this. Read. The Lord. Stop right there. The Lord. The Lord God, the Father, shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion and rule thou in the midst of thine. Didn't God send the Holy Spirit into the Virgin Mary? And out of that union came Christ to rule in the midst of his enemies. He was born in humanity and lived for 30 years, started ministry at 30, and lived among his enemies for 3 years until they crucified him. He was sent to die so that you might live. The rod of his strength was sent. Now, I need you to remember this passage in Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. And I love this. This is Paul now describing another context of verse. He's describing this Old Testament psalm in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting verse 24. Watch what Paul says. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to who? Even the, see the difference? He's God, but he's also the Father. Jesus will deliver up the kingdom to God the Father, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. The whole idea of Jesus coming with a rod of strength in the midst of his enemies is to be raised up all powerful on the third day. Put everything that is against God under his authority. Every lie, every misspoken truth, every disease, everything evil. He says, I've given you, behold, all power over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And he says, I'm not just leaving you alone, but when I go, I'll send a comforter and the Holy Ghost will be with you. I'm not leaving you without the Trinity. And he says, what? He says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will be loved of the Father, and you'll be loved by me. And whatever you ask shall come to pass. The Trinity is always working on your behalf to conquer whatever is here that fights God. Whew. It is constantly from Genesis to Revelation showing up in this form. He says, I will not leave you comfortless, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you, to guide you and to teach you and to lead you into all righteousness. Just like it was in the beginning, God willed him to come, willed him to rise, willed him to ascend, and then willed that the Holy Spirit should come. And now we live in the Holy Ghost age, where we are sons and daughters of the living King, filled with the Holy Ghost of power to be able to do it in the earth. God didn't send us to Mars. God didn't send us to Jupiter. God didn't send us to any other planet. He sent us here. Why? Because he was here in the beginning. That's where his spirit does his best work. He's constantly trying to get in your environment, constantly trying to find a vessel to come in. Somebody just got to say, Holy Ghost, use me. Holy Ghost, fill me. Holy Ghost, come in here. You got a place to come into. Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Holy Ghost dwells in you? Trinity is at work in your life. Woo! Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you because it's a full circle. Be of good courage. I go to prepare a place for you. For in my Father's house, the Trinity just working constantly on your back. Listen, I know you got to live. That's why I left the Holy Ghost with you. You got to make it here. I got you. But while you're living out this life, I'm going to go prepare. Come on, somebody. I'm going to get a place ready for you. Not just my place, but in my Father's house. Woo! Are many. Woo! The Trinity is working it out. Working it out. There's battle on the ground, but there's a retirement plan better than you ever thought of. Woo! He is working it. Look at your neighbor and say, he's working it. Say, God is working it. Turn to the other side and say, Jesus got it together. Look at your other side and say, the Holy Ghost got me, baby. He's got me. All you have to do is yield to the truth that he hasn't left you alone. I mean, you're down here with the heavy duty. You're down here with the heavy hitter. You're down here with the one that feels it all. You're down here with the one that can change it all. You're down here with the Spirit of God who is Lord of all. You're down here with the heavy hitter that can stop all the enemy. Jesus put it this way. If I by the finger of God cast out a devil, then the kingdom of God has come to you. He says, God's little pinky, when I use his finger, even the devils can't stand it. God doesn't need his whole hand, for the earth is his footstool. But if I just get one of his pinkies working on my, come on somebody. And just some days you just got to wake up and say, give me a pinky. That's all I need. Just give me a pinky, God. That's all I need. It's the word, y'all. It's the word. I'm not lying to you. It's in the Bible. Not making it up. Look at this. Paul goes on. And he says in verse 25, he says, for he may reign. He may reign. What verse are y'all reading? It's he may reign. Listen. I don't care what the enemy done told you. I don't care what it looked like. I don't care what it feels like. Let me tell you a truth that maybe you hadn't seen. He must reign. It don't matter if the enemy said he won't reign. He must reign. What do you mean it ain't gonna work? It must work. What do you mean you ain't gonna do it, God? Oh, he must do it. What you talking about, devil? I ain't listening to that foolishness. God must reign. So this situation he's got in his hands. He must reign. Well, God ain't in the midst of this. He must reign. I got cancer. He must reign. My family's breaking up. He must reign. Hallelujah. They kicked me out of the church. He must reign. Hallelujah. Somebody. You can't give up on what you see, for the God we serve is invisible. Oh, y'all just missed that right there. You can't look at it and say, oh, it looks bad. For the Bible says the kingdom of God doesn't come by sight. But it, whoop, come on, somebody. Jesus says the kingdom of God is in you. The power ain't coming from the outside. The power is on. He must reign. Sometimes when you're in prayer, and it feels bad, and you don't feel like praying, and it looks bad, and everybody got bad news, and everybody got sad news, and sorrowful news, you just got to look it in the face and say, get up in the mirror and say, he must reign. Turn the lights off in the bathroom and keep going. He must reign. People look at you crazy, talk you down, and you just smile and say, he must reign. You're fired. He must reign. Until he puts all his enemies under his feet. Under his feet. Under. I don't need to stress. I don't need to keep breaking down every time the bill don't get paid. Remember the last time that happened? You here this time. You didn't die last time. You're here in church tonight. That's proof. He put his foot on it. God must reign. Now, I need you to see this. The Trinity is just stinking everywhere in the Bible. It's true. See, what you must understand, and this will help some of you, because the question comes up, well, what about those people in the Old Testament? How did they go to heaven? Because didn't he come to set the captives free? How many heard that before? Raise your hand if you heard that before. The devil's a liar. Like, what? That ain't even in the Bible. That ain't what he says. He says he came to set captivity free. He came to take, he put it this way. He came to take captivity captive. What was holding you down? Death. What was keeping you back? Death. Sin. The wages of sin is death. He had to die and took death under his power because it couldn't hold him. He took captivity captive. Brought you out. It says that death can't hold you. That if you any man who believe on me shall not die, but he shall resurrect from the dead. For I am the resurrection and I am the life. He took death under his wing and said, sit down, boy. Yeah. We read and we think in terms of the wrong things. We think, well, then how did they get to heaven? How did they get to heaven? Because they were all in jail. No, they weren't. They had a forward-looking faith towards Christ because Christ was in the Old Testament and they knew it. Abraham was standing in his gate when God walked up and had two angels on each side and bargained with him about Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. But wait a minute. How do you know that's Jesus? Because no man has ever seen God and lived. Jesus said, no man has seen him except the Son. So that was Christ standing and talking to Abraham. He was there in the Old Testament. He's been here the whole time. So David got a glimpse. Abraham got a glimpse. That's why we read the story about the rich man and Lazarus dying. And then the rich man looked up in hell being in torments because of the flames. And he saw Abraham in Abraham's, he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. Abraham is already in heaven. Why? Because Abraham already knew there was a Messiah. He had faith in the Messiah. He got to heaven before anybody else. Moses saw him. The Bible says 70 elders with Moses went up on a mountain and had dinner with God. They had a forward looking. They knew the Messiah in the Old Testament. Therefore, Moses knew all about him. Elijah was taken up in a chariot of fire and went to heaven. And on the day that John, Peter, and Jesus went up the mountain of transfiguration, they saw Moses and they saw Elijah. They saw the law and they saw the prophets. And that God said, don't listen to them. Listen to my son. They came out of heaven. Why? Because they weren't in captivity, y'all. It was a forward looking of faith. And David saw it too. Let's read. Even David was aware of the plurality of God in the Old Testament. Wow. crosses. How do we know this? Jesus knew this. Turn to Matthew 22, verse 41, as we get ready to close out tonight. I love this stuff. Trinity in the Old Testament. God is always here. He's always been involved. God will never leave you nor forsake you. He can't do it. He's been here when it was darkness, and he's going to be here when it's light. He's going to be here all through it all. You don't have to worry about anything. When he goes, he doesn't leave you comfortless. He's got your life under control. You just got to hold on to that truth, because we panic when we don't believe. But when we have faith, we can go through anything. Let's see if David had a forward look into Christ. Did he ever see Christ? Look at Matthew 22, verse 41. Jesus was surrounded by the Pharisees, and the Bible says Jesus asked them a question. People always ask me, why in your Bible study do you always ask questions? You just trying to show people what you know, trying to catch people off guard. They tell me that all the time. I say, no, my master did it. My Lord knew how to draw out of somebody what was in them. In this passage, he drew out of the Pharisees the truth. Jesus asked them a question. Tell me something. Steve Yates version. We're at verse 42. Tell me what you think of Christ, the Messiah. This is Christ talking. Tell me something. What do you know about Christ? What do you know about that Messiah dude? Whose son is he? And they said unto him, he's the son of David. David was king. He's the son of David. Verse 43. And Jesus said unto them, wait a minute, I'm confused. Hold on. How does this hold true if David in the spirit called him Lord? How can he be his son if David, being led by the Spirit of God, called him Lord? And the Lord, and then he quotes the verse we just read. And the Lord said unto my, David was talking about his Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Jesus said, hold on, Daddy, just have a seat. Till I make all your enemies your footstool. Look at verse 45. David then called him Lord. How is he then his son? See, even David the prophet saw Christ in the Old Testament and called him my Lord. That ain't a New Testament term, y'all. It's because we weren't taught that the Old Testament prophets saw this day coming and wished they would be here with us. They saw this day coming and wished they could have what we have. They saw this day coming and said, we only get the Holy Spirit coming on us, but there are going to come a day when the Holy Spirit will be in us. And they envied us today. Look at verse 46. And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. When you have an understanding of the word of God, people don't know how to respond to you. They're going to go, leave him alone. They said, I thought I had him. I thought I had him right there. But when you have the Holy Spirit and when you understand scriptures, you see God everywhere. You remember the upper room? When he had popped up in the upper room? The Bible says Jesus rose from third day, went into the upper room, and he said to the disciples, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And everybody else thinks, oh, the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost. No, it didn't. He said, abide in Jerusalem till you be endued with power. The Holy Ghost came when he rose from the dead on the third day and went, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And he opened up their understanding that they might perceive the scriptures. If you want anything, say, Holy Ghost, open up my mind that I can see you in the scriptures. That's what David had when he said, by the Spirit, the Lord said unto my Lord. You've got to start having a Holy Spirit Bible study. You got to start asking, hey, you got to open this mind of mine. You got to open up my, you know what drives me. I can't fall asleep every time I'm reading the Bible. I need you to show me something that's going to blow my ever-loving mind. I need you. You know me? You need to show me. Hello, somebody. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to enter in to your study so that you can see Christ in the Word of God. This is where David equates Lord to God. Thus, God said to another Lord over David, sit here in my place of honor. Who else would be Lord over David except another God who has a father who is God? We can say it this way. God the Father said to the Son, sit thou on my right hand. Or Jesus said to the Father, sit thou on the right hand. If you're at my right, that means you are on the throne. And he goes on and say that this is very important that we understand this text. We see the Father, we see the Son, but let me close by seeing the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament. What about the person of the Holy Spirit? He is discussed as distinct from God in the Old Testament. We're going to close with these last three verses, Isaiah 63, starting at verse 8. Isaiah 63, starting at verse 8, Trinity in the Old Testament. We are dealing with kingdom matters. We talked about God the Father. We talked about heaven, what heaven was like. We talked about now the Trinity. We'll talk about the Son. We'll talk about the Holy Spirit in specificity. But I need you to see the Trinity in the Old Testament. Isaiah 63 and 8 says, for he said, surely these are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their what? The Son. Look at verse 9. In all of their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. But verse 10, but they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy. And he fought against them. Who? God the Father, God the Son. It was God the Son that was there leading them through the wilderness. God the Son was out on their behalf. That's why Paul could say the rock from which the water came was Christ. He is that rock. He was the one leading them through the wilderness. He had a personal vested interest in them. The law points to Jesus. Everything in the Old Testament points to Christ. He was there leading the children. But they vexed his Holy Spirit, Trinity, seen in the Old Testament. Ladies and gentlemen, God has a Holy Spirit that is separate from him, but yet one. But the thing to know is it was grieved according to the fact that it has emotional capabilities like a distinct person. We cannot grieve the Holy Spirit by not allowing him to move in our lives. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we doubt what he can do for us. The Trinity is ever moving, but the Holy Spirit is given to you right now. Would you stand to your feet?